Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
In our day, the word Christian is a rather mysterious word, and it seems that no one really knows what it means. We hear about Christian theology as a kind of a free-floating thing. Seems to include everything and anything, that even some things that used to be called blasphemy. We hear about Christian morality, which in some areas could be biblical morality. And some things that's called Christian morality is nothing but immorality. And the situation in Christian doctrine and morality and church organization is something that's very confusing to many people today. And in the presence of this confusion on the religious front, it's understandable that men might ask, is Christianity really worth considering? Jesus predicted a multiplicity of voices that would be saying, lo there, lo here. And he commanded, go not away, nor follow after them. And sadly, many of today's people, hearing a barely intelligible babble of religious voices, have decided that Christianity really has nothing to offer, and that it's really a hindrance to the good life. To borrow a phrase from John Gardner, former Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare a number of years ago, Christianity offers no easy victories. And Christianity has never been easy to accept. Jesus places between the opposing forces of good and evil and demands that one choose only one. And the attempt to choose some of both, Jesus says, is lukewarmness. And he promised to spew those out who really were neither cold nor hot. In a book, Jesus and the American Mind, one man describes a churchgoer exposed to a lesson on the Sermon on the Mount, while a part of his mind remains focused on the events of the today. And Halford Lukoc gave this translation, a part of the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. And the man is thinking, American can has gone up 57. Blessed are the meek. And the man is thinking that Amalgamated is really buying into it. Blessed are those that mourn. And the churchgoer's mind is on the fact that 200 chairs may drop. Take no thought for the morrow. And then the man is thinking, I'll have to cover that drop in the stock market or get caught short. And then Jesus says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. See, Jesus takes dead aim at our problem. No man can serve two masters. And so what we want to consider today is Christianity really worth considering? Is it really profitable to be a Christian today? Because first century man solved the problem no more satisfactorily than his 21st century descendants, Jesus experienced only limited success when preaching to his fellow Jews. And the early Christian missionaries, while reaping the great harvest of souls reported in the book of Acts, hardly touched the hem of the vast garment that was the Roman Empire. It's been estimated that by the time of Constantine, that he was ready to declare himself a convert, after almost three centuries of enthusiastic preaching by men ready to die for their faith, that only about 10% of the population were even nominally Christians. And today the situation is not all that much different. The reason why Christianity is not accepted is not limited to the failure of understanding. It's because Christianity is not liked. It's not that Christianity has been tried and found wanting. It just hasn't been tried, and if it's been tried, it's been found difficult, and people don't want to accept that. Well, why should today's man be considerate of Christianity? After all, this is the age of the information highway. This is the space age, a time of explosion of knowledge and so many other things. It's been estimated that of all the true scientists who have ever lived, more than 60% are alive right now. and that of all the things we will be using, half have not yet been invented. Man is moving forward in science. He's moving upward in rockets. He's outward in space. Where's the time in his busy life, or the room in his crowded mind, or the inclination in his enlightening intellect to consider a religious system that's almost 20 centuries old? Is Christianity really out of date? We don't want to reach a hasty conclusion on the basis of age alone, for newness and truth and goodness are not necessarily equated as something of this age. Nor are things of antiquity to be excluded. There are labels for the belief of what is old, that it's useless. What is new is better by virtue of its newness. And Christianity must not fail to merit the consideration just because it's rooted in antiquity. It is my firm belief that man of every age, including ours, must look back to Christ, back to the Bible, and understanding that this backward look is actually a very progressive look. A group of Christians campaigned in one city, and their slogan was, "Forward by going back. Forward by going back to the Bible." Now, that may sound like a paradox, but it's a legitimate one. To go forward, we need to go back to Christ. Christ is uniquely contemporary. He's ever up to date in every generation. Matter of fact, a Hebrew writer declares in Hebrews 13:8, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever." Man has never discovered nor experienced anything to dispute this biblical truth. Surrounded as we are by change, we may not be aware that changing man changes only superficially. Fundamentally, man is the same. He has the same basic needs. He has the same drives. He has the same capacity for good or evil, happiness or unhappiness. Man's condition has not changed. And like man in the very first century, he still wrestles with guilt, with fear, with pain, with death. And with all his scientific progress, man has discovered no cure for sin. The sins of Jerusalem, the sins of Corinth and Rome, or the sins of Washington, the sins of McMinnville, the sins of Tokyo, the sins of Morrison. And as in the first century, man needs something definite upon which to base his life. He still hungers for direction. He still hungers for meaning, for purpose. He still hungers for unity and for some direction in life. Christ is able to meet these needs and to meet those needs perfectly. An age which insists on relevance should consider that in view of man's needs and in view of Christ's ability to answer man's needs, indeed, Jesus is relevant. And he's relevant for the 21st century. To accept what has been said calls for a man to believe Jesus and to believe in Jesus. Not enough to just believe that Jesus existed, but to believe in Christ and to believe what Jesus teaches and come to trust in him as the central force in our life. He was declared to be the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him were all things created in the heavens and upon the earth, things visible and things invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things have been created through him and unto him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. So writes the inspired Apostle Paul in Colossians 1. Verse 15 through verse 17. And while a claim may be beyond the scope of fully understanding, it's to be believed, it's to be accepted. And so as we consider the question, is Christianity relevant today? Is it worth considering? Number one, I maintain that Christianity is worth considering because it's based in the person whom we can believe. We can't accept the necessity of believing. And when man has gone as far as he can go, he finds it necessary to say, this is what I believe. And what he believes may not be worthy of his belief or his trust. So it's important to believe in the foundation truth that Jesus is God's Son, even as the Apostle Peter declared in Matthew 16, verse 18. And in Jesus is the cornerstone of our spiritual being. Though the words may sound boastful, Jesus was humbly serious when he declared, "Except you believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins," John 8, verse 24. And what he declared then still is true today. "Except you believe that I am he," that is, he's the Son of God, "you'll die in your sins." Michael Faraday is called the father of modern physics. He was described by a biographer as a man who insisted upon the primacy of faith. The world was intelligible, the world was beautiful, the world was adaptable to the needs of mankind, because God was rational and because God was good. And one could not legitimately argue the other way around, according to Faraday, to prove the existence of God. God is, and God is the reason through which his creation is understood. We do not reason ourselves into faith. We believe, and God's will becomes reasonable. And that question asked by Pilate so long ago, "What shall I do with Jesus?" Mark 15:12, echoes through the ages. And it makes itself heard, and it's waiting for an answer, and it may be waiting for your answer. Well, number two in our consideration is Christianity worth considering. I vow that Christianity is worth considering because it's the one religion that can stand investigation. Mark chapter 12, verse 29, quotes from Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, the admonition that is to, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Paul invited men to study God's word, to present themselves approved as men who had learned to handle properly the word of God, 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. And the gospel appeals to man's intellect. It appeals to his power to reason. And the belief that church teaching is right, and that it's understandable. It's not a blind faith, but the faith that points the way even more clearly than does sight. So Christianity is worth considering because it's based upon a person whom we can believe. It's worth considering because it's the one religion that can stand investigation. And if Christianity is reasonable and considered, one will submit himself to Christ by repenting of his sins, by confessing his faith in Christ, by being baptized into Christ, and then by faithfully living for Christ.